Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we gather to celebrate Reformation Sunday. It's always been one of my favorites. It's one of those where we get a chance to remember all that Martin Luther did, remember all that the Reformers did, remember all kinds of wonderful and amazing things. So it is good for us to be together today in worship. This year, 2022, is actually the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther's German New Testament. It was actually published in September, but, you know, they call it the September Testament. But it was the first attempt by someone to translate scripture into the common language of the people. And it was an amazing success. It is still treated as one of the pieces of German literature of that time. And so we celebrate today the fact that Martin Luther gave scripture to the common people. We've gathered this morning to be in worship, to continue to celebrate the joys that we received in the Reformation. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our gathering song, Hosanna. Let us rise and sing together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And now in celebration of our Reformation Sunday, we join together in the dialogue of the Creator. I believe that God created me.
And all that exists.
He has given me and still preserves.
My body and soul and all their powers.
He provides me with food and clothing, home and family, daily work.
All day to day.
God also protects me in time of danger
and guards me from all evil.
All this he does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy.
No, I do not deserve it.
Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise him.
Serve and obey him. This is the most
true. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, We thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Our first lesson is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or to say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the third chapter of Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and it is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 8th chapter. And Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, If you continue in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered Him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in a household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All good gifts around us are come from heaven above. So thank you, Lord, for all His love. We sing that. All right, maybe you haven't sung it for a while since you're here at the 8:30 service. But we sing that, right? Or my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We sing that too. And we know that those sentiments are true, completely true, most certainly true. Our hope, our faith, our salvation, our redemption, it is all a gift from God in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. This is my personal source of hope in this life and this world. And yet I recently read a quote that kind of set me back. It was as follows. The desire to privatize the free love of God for all creation seems stamped on our human soul. That is, while we want to claim our salvation, we also want to believe that we at least participated in it a little bit, and We think we have a say in who else is eligible for that same goodness, right? It's not just something that we thought up here in the 21st century. It's what was driving the priests in the temple. It drove the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It drove the church in Martin Luther's day, and it led to the Reformation. It is also here and now and all around us. That desire to say, I am the one, and I get to say if you're any part. Now, in the gospel today, Jesus tells us that the truth will make you free. And the truth that Jesus is encouraging us to know and believe, encouraging us to trust in and act upon, is the truth of God's love for us and for all people, even sinners, even lost ones, even those least and left out, and even those who try hard to listen to God and live as His children. Jesus is also teaching us something amazing. As the crowds were sitting there tutting that they were descended from Abraham and slaves to no one, Jesus reminds us all of our slavery to sin. And then He tells us, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. What Jesus is showing us in that sentence is that Jesus is that truth about God's love. The truth makes you free. If the Son sets you free, we are free indeed in the love and the faith, in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth of God's love for all people. And if we want to see what God is really like, we can look at Jesus. It's all part of the gift. You see, we are enslaved and captured. We are imprisoned in our sinfulness with no way out. We can't do it ourselves because we're not strong enough. We are never going to be good enough. We can't buy our way out or trade our way out or bargain our way out. We can dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper into the mess. That's what we can do. Our redemption comes as a gift in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Our salvation comes as a gift from God's love. Our justification is by God's grace, which by definition we do not deserve. Paul today in Romans reminds us that when we are under the law, we are guilty. That's what the law is for, to show us our guilt and to remind us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And also that no human being will be justified in God's sight by deeds prescribed by the law. Paul reminds us that we can't do it, and God knows it. This is that former covenant that Jeremiah is talking about in our Old Testament reading too, the covenant we broke, though God was with us. That covenant is the law that always accuses us. But you see, if the first use of the law is to find us guilty, then the second use is to drive us back to Christ. God is gracious and merciful. God gives faith and freedom to all creation. God gives hope and peace so that we can live as God's children and follow Jesus into the world, loving neighbors and friends, families and strangers, even enemies, with the love from God. Jeremiah is looking forward to a time when God will write a new law on our hearts, where we will be God's people teaching one another of God's goodness. Jeremiah looks forward to a time when God will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. That time is now for us right here. Paul reminds us that the righteousness of God, that is, our right relationship with God, is ours through faith, which is another gift from God, and that we are now justified by God's grace as a gift. God has passed over the sins previously committed, forgiven us, and gives us hope for tomorrow, and it is all a gift. So then Jesus tells us that we are free in His love to serve. This is not a freedom that allows us to do whatever it is that we feel like. It's a freedom for the sake of others. It's a freedom for the sake of love. Knowing God's grace is ours, we are now free to share that love, to live in gentleness and kindness, to live patiently, helping wherever it is that we can. We are free to discover ways to make God's love real for those around us. This is all free. It is all a gift. We can't earn it or deserve it. It is the greatest thing in the world as far as I'm concerned. All that goodness and all of those gifts have been misunderstood, privatized, and even weaponized throughout the years. And that is sad. From Pharisees and priests to the church in Luther's day, to those today who believe that they know best and we had better listen to what they say, we humans have tried to turn the free gift of God's grace into something that we control, that we can decide upon, and that we deserve as long as you're in the in crowd. And so from Jeremiah's time, when the priests and the temple tried to regulate the piety of the faithful, but only when they wanted or needed to the Pharisees of Jesus' day, looking down on those who were not following the law as they saw it should be, we move to Luther's day, where the church, through penance and indulgences, through pilgrimages and excommunications, tried to force people into a rigid caste of in or out, of good or evil, of blessed or not. To even today, where there are those who wish to convince us that God is waiting for us to act and believe and behave in certain ways that shows that we're worthy of blessing or worthy of good things. In his day, Luther turned to Scripture, where in Romans and in Jeremiah, Luther heard God's grace taught and he watched it lived in Jesus' life. It is a gift for all of us and not a paycheck. It's not an invoice that we must pay. It's not a trip that we need to take. The love of God comes to us with freedom and a challenge. A challenge to take this gift we receive and share it far and wide. Jesus teaches us and shows us how that can all look in this world around us. And even that is a gift for us. We have access to all of these gifts in faith. When the law drives us to Christ, when we turn back to God, then we realize the gifts that are ours. We believe the promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And we trust that God will keep all of these promises, and then we live as God's children and as followers of Christ. That way, we reform our lives, and we walk with God by our side. See, that's the good news I get to share today. Our hope is truly built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and that gives to us complete joy an abundant life. Amen. Please rise. Now, some of you who had to memorize, like I did, Luther's Small Catechism over and over and over again may have recognized the dialogue of the Creator. You will also recognize the dialogue of the Word. These are all parts of Luther's explanation to the articles of the Creed in the Small Catechism. We join together now in the dialogue of the Word. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost, he has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he has done that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness and blessedness. Just as he has risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally, this is most certainly true. In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all of God's creation. God, our fortress, we pray for the church. Write your law of love on the hearts of your people that we remain steadfast in our witness to your grace. Lord, in your mercy, God, our liberator, we pray for your earth. Bring new life to overused land and contaminated rivers. Help us to faithfully care for all of your creation. Lord, in your mercy. God, our refuge and strength, we pray for the nations. Where they are in an uproar, bring wise leadership and comfort for those in distress. Make wars to cease and peace to enter every land. Lord, in your mercy. God, our very present help in trouble. We pray for those in need. Show mercy to refugees and all fleeing from danger. Shelter any without homes. Calm all who are facing illness, surgery, or a new diagnosis. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer from illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Sharon, Cody, Fran, Janet, Carol, Jack, John, Logan, Brenda, and Rhonda. May the hope-filled presence of Christ rest upon them and all, Lord, in your mercy. God, our Redeemer, we pray for our congregation. Bless all who are preparing for baptism or affirmation of baptism. Open their hearts to your Holy Spirit, teach them your word, and give them courage to proclaim their faith. Lord, in your mercy. God, our stronghold. We give thanks for those who have gone before us in faith, especially Martin Luther and all reformers. Renew and reform us as we strive to continue in your word. Lord, in your mercy. With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We praise you, all holy God, our maker, our keeper, our covenant Lord, our redeemer, the strength of truth. We praise you for the universe beyond our knowing, for seas and forests and fields, for the waters of Wittenberg and the flowers in this place, for creatures seen and unseen, for animals both wild and tame, for our ancestors and godparents from all around the globe, and for the places we humans call home, for cities and churches and schools, for seminaries and missions and fellowship halls. We praise you for your covenant people, for Moses and Miriam, for Aaron and Jeremiah, the psalmists, for the centuries of faithful Christians, for Mary Magdalene, Peter and Paul, for Luther, Melanchthon, Muhlenberg, and Fedi, for Katie Luther and Cranach, Bach and Nicolai, Nomundsen and Kierkegaard, Bonhoeffer and Hammerschold, for all the servants of the Reformation. We praise you, O God, for Jesus Christ, who saves us from sin and from evil, embodying forgiveness, granting us grace, setting us free, who on the night before he died took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so we remember your word, his life, his death, and his glorious resurrection, his presence in this meal around the world. We proclaim the mystery of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We pray, O God, for your spirit, your breath, your fire, your wisdom, your law, your grace, your freedom. Bless this meal and all those who share it. Inspire your people for service. Continue the reformation of your churches and renew the world with your mercy, with your healing, your justice, and your peace, with the joy of life in your household. We praise you, all holy God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, mighty fortress, victorious champion, powerful shield. We praise you today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus loves you, and in the power of that love, I bid you now come to his table of grace. You may be seated. Please rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent in love and service. And so together we pray, holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine, you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we might speak a living voice of healing and justice to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We conclude the three articles of the Apostles' Creed and Luther's explanation with the dialogue of the Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To all of you going trick-or-treating, I hope you have fun. For all the rest of us as well, I hope your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
Thank God's mission, our mission.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.